next case is 0651, American Interstate Insurance Company versus G&H Service Center. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court. May it please the court. My name is Matthew Smith, and together with James Nolan, I have the privilege of representing G&H Service Center out of Sydney, Ohio. Together with Tom Kerrigan, who is also seated at council table, he represents Mr. and Mrs. Britton. Collectively, we represent the appellants in this case, requesting this honorable court to reverse the decision of the Third District Court of Appeal, reinstitute the decision of the trial court, and agree with the interpretation of the restatement of the conflict of laws adopted by the first appellate district on the conflict that has been certified to this court. By prior agreement, I've asked to reserve 5 minutes of the time of my argument, 2 minutes of which will be taken approximately by Mr. Kerrigan and the remainder reserved for rebuttal. Your Honors, we realize that this case is not the most vivacious or exciting decision to come before the Supreme Court of Ohio. However, nevertheless, this is an important decision. This is an issue of first impression before the Supreme Court of Ohio, and interestingly, in doing research, we could find no other Supreme Court anywhere in the United States that has ever addressed this specific issue before. So it truly is an issue of first impression. However, because it's an issue of first impression, doesn't mean we cannot be guided by the prior decisions of this very court. The Ohio Supreme Court adopted the restatement of the conflicts of laws 22 years ago in the case of Morgan versus Biro Manufacturing. Interestingly, directly on point, this court has really not addressed that issue or that publication since.
If I may ask you.
Certainly.
Since the workers' compensation benefits were paid under Louisiana law, shouldn't the issue of subrogation also be based on Louisiana law?
Not necessarily and in totality. And the reason for that is this court, under the restatement of the law of conflicts, still has the right to decide which jurisdiction has more contact with this particular action. And what I would submit to the court is that when that analysis applied, you have to look at a case-by-case analysis. Under no circumstance is the appellant saying that this court should ignore Section 185. However, what you need to do is look at Section 185 and read it in parallel with Sections 145, 146, and Section 90 of the same publication. And that's exactly what this court said in the Biro decision. In Biro, what this court said is the national trend in choice of law litigation is to replace the traditional rules with a more flexible case-by-case approach. This approach combines some of the more well-reasoned traditional axioms with an interest analysis of the states involved in the litigation. The task is therefore delegated to the court to weigh each factor in light of the circumstances of the particular case.
Aren't you sort of mixing apples and oranges, though, because you're applying tort principles governing the forum with contract, and this is a contract issue that was established by Louisiana law, and therefore should we not be applying contract law and not Ohio tort law?
I think there's a difference, Justice Stratton, in applying contract law to an issue and deciding whether that issue is the controlling issue in the case under the restatement of the law of conflicts. I would respectfully submit that there's two ways that this court can rule in favor of the appellants. The first of those is directly what, Justice Stratton, you're asking about. And that would be for this court to adopt a primary focus test under the restatement of the law of conflicts. Under a primary focus test, what this court would do would be to look at the underlying litigation and require the trial court to do so, and then determine, in looking at the totality of the restatement of the law of conflicts, which section is most applicable to the facts of that case. Yes, Your Honor, this case does involve issues of contract law under an insurance contract entered into in the state of Louisiana. However, if we're blindly going to say that because of that, Section 185, and we go away from the biro flexible case-by-case analysis, and we simply put blinders on and say Section 185 applies, then in all due respect, what we have is the subrogation tail wagging the dog of the case. And what this case is truly about when you get to the final analysis is it's a case about negligence, and it's a case about if negligence is established, what damages then reasonably apply.
But there are really two cases here, are there not? I mean, if we follow your argument that we should, it's case by case, okay, we could look at the case. There's a case for subrogation, which is based upon the fact that an insurance company under Louisiana law paid compensation, and they want subrogation. The 185 clearly applies to that situation, it seems to me. The other case is the tort case, where the person who was injured, in addition to or whatever, despite the fact that there was compensation paid, is now suing someone for damages. Those are two separate issues. Isn't it very easy to apply one Section 145 to the tort case and 185 to the contract case, the subrogation case? Why wouldn't we do that so that as you say, the appropriate section of the restatement is applied to that part of the case to which it should be applied?
Because, Your Honor, such as occurs here, you do end up with situations where the sections of the restatement of the law of conflicts can create in the same case differing standards, differing guidelines, and even differing results in the same case. That's why on behalf of the appellant, I do advocate that one of the avenues that this court should consider is adopting a primary focus analysis, because we're only dealing here with one specific issue. But if you look at the totality, which this court has adopted, of the restatement of the law of conflicts, because again, we're not saying abrogate Section 185 or it doesn't apply, but there are multiple situations that can face the courts in the state of Ohio where varying sections of the restatement of the law of conflicts are directly in conflict with one another, even though there is one lawsuit pending.
Was your concern here that the outcome of the tort case will affect the outcome of the subrogation case?
Correct, Your Honor, because what we're doing, if we adopt Section 185, as I used the analogy before, but I think it's very appropriate, is you, in essence, have the subrogation tail of the case, which is a third, distant third issue behind liability and damages, driving the entirety of the litigation at that point. That's why I think a better approach using the biro standard, in which this very court said we need to be flexible, we need to apply a case-by-case analysis, is to grant the discretion to the trial court to make a primary focus determination as to what is the primary legal focus of the case, and then apply the restatement of conflicts accordingly, depending upon what the primary focus or primary legal issue is in that case.
Why can't you, following the Chief's line of questioning, find that this was a Ohio accident and an Ohio company, and you try your tort case under the Ohio principles, and then the court applies the subrogation laws of Louisiana because you have a Louisiana company and a Louisiana resident who's recovering his worker comp under Louisiana law? It's a two-step process. It's not necessarily a primary focus. It's just a two-step process. Try the case under tort law, then apply who gets the final proceeds the jury awards. The jury doesn't need to know about the workers' compensation, doesn't even need to know about the insurance payments, and generally that's kept out of the case.
Well, unfortunately, Justice Stratton, in many cases that may be true, but it's the cases that create the exception to that rule that are going to wreak havoc in the state. This case is exactly on point with that, which is the second reason why this court can rule in favor of the appellant. This court has every right to expand under the biro decision and adopt Section 185 in its entirety. And the appellants certainly respect the ability of this court to issue a more broad ruling than a more narrow primary focus analysis. However, if you do that in the specific facts of this case, on behalf of the appellants, I would respectfully submit, for the exact reason, Justice Stratton, that you're talking about, this particular decision of the Third District Court of Appeal must still be reversed. Why is that? The incident here in question occurred in the year 2000. So Louisiana law in the year 2000 would govern. One needs to then look at the Louisiana workers' compensation statute that was in effect at the time this accident occurred in Sidney, Ohio. There's two problems with that law. First, under the Louisiana Code, in a workers' compensation subrogation claim, there is zero right to a jury trial. No constitutional right at all to Mr. and Mrs. Britton or to my client, G&H Service Center, to have that issue tried before a jury. It must be tried under Louisiana law in 2000 before a district judge of that state. So that's problem number one, is we've denied an Ohio company and foreign people coming into the state but have the right to use our courts, we've denied them to the constitutional protection of a jury trial if we apply Louisiana law with blinders on under Section 185. The second problem with the Louisiana law, as it appeared in 2000, is that that law had separate standards applied to Louisiana workers regarding the duty to repay if they settled the claim out of court or if they litigated the case to a final judgment. This court in the Holton decision struck that provision down in Ohio as being unconstitutional. So the reason with Justice Stratton and members of the court that we cannot just simply say, oh, these are two entirely separate issues, we're going to address them entirely separately, is because when the rubber hits the road in an actual application of that, the problems start to rise up when you apply the local law standards of the jurisdiction whose conflict exists.
What about the issue of the subrogation, if we sort of bifurcate the issues, and I know you've just joined them back together, but doesn't using the same state law preserve the framework considered by that state's legislature in creating its workers' compensation remedy? I mean, I know Justice Cook wrote in one of the dissents that she wrote that, you know, we need to have the flexibility, the give and take, and wouldn't we be destroying then what they set up their premiums and the basis of their structure?
No, Judge Grindel, I don't think that you would, for a number of reasons. Number one is it is clearly evidenced because of the interstate commerce issue, and in fact, in the appellee's name, interstate appears even, that they're well aware that they are not going to be governed under actions strictly occurring in the state of Louisiana. And I don't think there's any reasonable expectation of that, that every person that is covered under a workers' compensation policy in the state of Louisiana is automatically going to have an injury that would only occur or only ever be governed by the laws of Louisiana. So number one, I don't think that agrees. Number two, Section 90 of the Restatement of the Law of Conflicts specifically says states reserve the right to decide whether a particular application of the Restatement of the Law of Conflicts would be in contradiction of their state laws. And that is a power specifically reserved to each individual state. And in fact, in probably, you know, Judge Grindel, the opinion of yours that got so much national attention out of Massachusetts with the transsexual marriage, Your Honor wrote that decision and specifically said, we do not have to give full faith and credit to every particular state legislature or state law when it conflicts with the substantial rights of an Ohio citizen. Now, on the more narrow grounds, realizing that this court has every right to adopt Section 185 broadly, but in the narrow grounds of the application of this case, doing so would deny my client, a corporate citizen of the state of Ohio, to the right to a jury trial. And there is no provision that I have found, in all due respect to this court, under the laws of the state of Ohio, that would justify this court or any other court saying to my client, because of a law passed in Louisiana, of which you have no ability to vote upon, decide upon, or have a voice in, we're going to take away your constitutional right to a jury trial here in the state of Ohio. And that's exactly why this court can adopt a broad interpretation of Section 185, but still, in this particular case, rule in favor of the appellants. What the appellee has argued in their brief is that this court shouldn't do that, that this court should simply put blinders on and say, we're never going to look beyond Section 185. And I think that's wrong. I think you have to look at the other sections, 145, 146, which have much more to do with this case than Section 185, and then analyze it in light of Section 90, regarding the public policy of the state of Ohio.
If you flip the facts and you have an Ohio resident, an Ohio workers' comp, goes to Louisiana and is injured in Louisiana, does Louisiana get to apply their law and allow subrogation? It's the flip of what you're asking us to do.
Certainly. And I think the answer to that question is yes, with an important caveat. If under the laws of the state of Louisiana, applying the restatement of the law of conflicts, if there are provisions of the Ohio law that violate the Louisiana Constitution and violate the rights of Louisiana residents under the laws of their state, then in all due respect, yes, I think the Louisiana courts would have the ability to say we're not going to apply Ohio law.
But we've said in Ohio that under Holleton that you can't do this, and yet in Louisiana they say you can. So does Louisiana have to follow our finding of unconstitutionality because it's an Ohio resident?
No, I don't think automatically. I think what it grants is exactly what I'm arguing, that the court, and that's what this court held in Byra, that the trial court judge has the right to do a case-by-case flexible analysis and determine whether or not, under the totality of the circumstances, whether Louisiana, under Justice Stratton, your analogy, under whether Louisiana constitutional law would be violated by the Ohio statute or not. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. You've used all 15 minutes of your time. So, Mr. Kerrigan, do you want to take rebuttal? 30 seconds. Not now, but I just want to make sure we.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Ms. Aru.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. My name is Michelle Zaru, and I'm the attorney for the appellee American Interstate Insurance Company, and I'm joined today by Mr. Michael Snyder, who's co-counsel. This case presents a simple choice of law case involving how to distribute damages between a Louisiana insurer and its Louisiana beneficiary. And while appellants are trying to turn this into a complex case involving how Ohio applies the restatement and whether a new analysis of the restatement should be adopted, this isn't the case for creating such a complex analysis. It's really very simple. And that's simply that there's no basis to do anything other than apply Section 185 here. Section 185 and especially the reasoned analysis of the court below should be applied because it makes sense. It's a simple resolution of a very simple issue. When applying the restatement, your first step under OHAN is to classify the action. You properly classify it as either a contract or a tort action. And in this case, as you pointed out, Mr. Chief Justice, the classification is bifurcated, essentially. There's an underlying tort action, and there's a subrogation claim. And those need to be addressed separately under the restatement. And there's no basis for applying a primary focus test where you meld the two together.
Mr. Smith argues that the outcome in the tort case will have an impact on the subrogation case. What's your response?
That's true only to the extent of whether there's liability or not. If there's liability, the employer will have a right to subrogation. If there's no liability, we have no right to subrogation, period. That's the only impact. And you can apply two separate state laws in making those two separate determinations. I take issue with Mr. Smith's claim that the Ohio right to a jury trial is somehow implicated here. First of all, this issue was never briefed in any of the pleadings below. So frankly, it was waived. But notwithstanding that, Mr. Smith's right to a jury trial is well intact on the tort claim. The jury would try the tort claim just as it would under Ohio principles, as any other personal injury action would go forward. And after that, the judge would handle the subrogation issues. And as one of the justices pointed out today, the jury would never need to know there even is a subrogation interest in this case. And the reason for doing that is that the adoption of Section 185 recognizes that workers' comp is such a creature of state law, and it's a bargain between the employers of Louisiana and the Louisiana employees, and really Ohio has no right or interest to interfere in that bargain. The courts that have failed to apply Section 185 and that have followed Morgan are the courts that have applied blinders and essentially said, Morgan applied Section 145, so we're going to apply Section 145 because there's an underlying tort here. And those are the Beer courts in the First District and the Gladkowski court in the 10th District. And I think it's really important to look at the opinion of the Gladkowski court in the 10th District because what they said is, we refuse to accept the provision that the law of the state of the work where the workers' comp benefits are received applies as to all issues. And that's where the error comes in. it doesn't apply to all issues. It applies just to the subrogation claim. The Beer Corp essentially adopted this analysis when it cited Glatowski favorably.
If the court applies the Restatement Section 185 and applies Louisiana law, mm-hmm. which permits subrogation workers' compensation cases, wouldn't the result contravene Ohio law at the time, which did not permit subrogation? Isn't that the main issue in this case?
That would be a concern if any Ohio worker were impacted at all by this case. Section 90 is supposed to be applied very narrowly and only when a policy is morally repugnant and when a policy would have a prejudicial impact on the citizens of Ohio. But here, no Ohio worker is going to be subject to subrogation. It's in a Louisiana worker under a Louisiana policy issued by a Louisiana insurer. In that situation, there's nothing for Ohio, there's no public policy interest for Ohio to protect because it doesn't affect anyone in Ohio. And that's why Section 90 shouldn't be adopted in this case. Frankly, the Ohio courts haven't adopted it yet, and I don't think this is the proper case to adopt it because of that. There's simply no basis for holding an Ohio public policy that affects no Ohio worker should change the restatement analysis that is so clear-cut and provides such a clear, you know, bright-line rule that you apply the law of the state where the workers' comp benefits are received.
Counsel, let's jump then to Louisiana law. Let's
sure.
assume that this injured truck driver tries and successfully wins a tort claim in Ohio. And the award, there's an award for loss of wages, there's an award for future loss of wages, there's an award for pain and suffering. What part of that award is the insurer entitled to under Louisiana law?
Under Louisiana law, the insurer gets the first dollar of any award, and it gets the first dollar of any settlement, and they don't distinguish.
So if the award is $20,000 for medical bills and for lost wages, and $200,000 for pain and suffering, but the company has paid out the insurance company has paid out $50,000, they would get the first $50,000.
Under Louisiana law, they would.
And wouldn't that be repugnant to Ohio's sense of fairness? And wouldn't that weigh in the balance then when you're deciding whether or not Louisiana law is so contrary to public policy in Ohio that it shouldn't be selected for application?
It would be if there were an Ohio worker involved in the case somehow. If there was someone in Ohio who would be harmed by this distribution of benefits that Louisiana set up, I could see Ohio saying, okay, we need to step in here and set up, you know, and assert our public policy and prevent our citizens from having a prejudicial effect on our public policy.
But Ohio's court system and Ohio's jurors were, their time was taken up.
Their time was taken up in answering.
By this and... But we should countenance an ultimate outcome that might be deemed totally unjust and unfair under Ohio law.
We should, because while the Ohio jury's time was taken up, the jury's time was taken up on a personal injury action that occurred in Ohio, but that's the only link that the Ohio has to this case, and they really don't have an interest in how the proceeds are distributed after we determine whether an Ohio citizen was negligent. So you go back to the fact that workers' comp is a bargain between a state and its citizens, and Louisiana, the Louisiana citizen in this case, Mr. Britton, you know, understood this when he entered into that bargain. And I think you also have to look at the rational basis for the Louisiana legislature making this determination that the first dollar is recovered. Their rational basis for this test is simply that they want to encourage the employers not to challenge employees' benefits. They want them to pay, and by assuring them they get the first dollar, then they basically encourage the worker employers and the insurance companies to not dispute benefits. And I think that this has, you know, a very real application
here. I'm not sure
here.
How that follows.
Well, look at this case. American Interstate could have disputed this case and said, well, for whatever reason, you're not, Mr. Britton, you're not entitled to benefits. A third party caused your injury. But they didn't do that because of the insurance that they would have a subrogation right and get the first dollar of any award. And I,
well, I mean, is that the way Louisiana law works? If you're injured while at work, but it's the fault of a third party, you're not in the comp system?
Not necessarily, but there have been quite a few cases I've found.
Then if that's not the way it works, that would be a bogus claim on the part of American Interstate.
That's right. But and there is a concern in Louisiana with that issue. In fact, they've written into their statute a penalty for employers who unreasonably fail to pay benefits. But it has arisen in a variety of cases where there's a third party at fault, where the employer has either disputed the benefits or they have failed to pay the benefits at all. And I think that's an important policy that the Louisiana legislature was trying to get at, was to prevent them from doing that any further. And the penalty just, maybe it wasn't enough. And
well, what I'm trying to test is, is under what circumstances should Ohio say, we just won't, the other state's law is so repugnant, we won't allow it to be applied by our courts?
Well, one good example is I can provide you with is an example of a construction contract that allows a contractor to be indemnified for its own negligence. Ohio has a statute prohibiting that, and if there was a construction site in Ohio where the contractor who was out of state and where this provision was allowed had this kind of provision in their contract, then I could say Ohio is saying, look, that subjects our citizens to danger because they're not liable for their own negligence, and that harms the public safety in Ohio for the people who are working on that building and the people who are going to, you know, live in that building. So we're going to step in here and say, no, we're not going to allow you to apply that policy in this case. So there's a real actual harm to an Ohio citizen in that case. Here, the only person impacted by how the proceeds are apportioned is Mr. Britton. And G&H really doesn't have an interest in that either because they're going to have to pay whatever the jury awards. So you're looking at just an impact on a Louisiana worker and a Louisiana insurance company and how they fight out this battle, which is why Ohio should step back and why Section 185 is such a rational decision, because it shows that essentially we understand the bargain that is workers' compensation. And the bargain is between the state's employees and the state's employers. And that bargain should be upheld and respected. And Ohio really has no interest in asserting its public policy principles in a case that solely involves a Louisiana worker and a Louisiana insurer. If the court doesn't have any further questions at this time, I'll rest.
Thank you, Ms. Aru. Mr. Smith, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honors. Appellee's counsel wholly ignores the issue that there is another party and parties to this litigation, namely Mr. Nolan and my clients, G&H Service Center, and Mr. Kerrigan's clients, Mr. and Mrs. Britton. They are affected by the application of Section 185 and the Louisiana law, and their rights cannot be ignored. And in fact, in response to Justice Pfeiffer's questioning, I find it ironic the arguments of appellee's counsel, considering it was her firm that argued the Holton case and why that was such a violation of rights, but to now simply say this court should turn a blind eye simply makes no sense.
What is the interest of G&H? Because if you have a jury award, you pay it regardless of whether there's subrogation or it goes all to Mr. Britton, do you not?
You do, but Justice Stratton, the issues are, as I've discussed before, number one, if you apply 185 with blinders on, there is no right to a jury trial.
But why does that concern your company? Because you have a jury verdict that's going to award presumably everything that Mr. Britton's entitled to. He's a Louisiana resident, and you're an Ohio company, but you have to pay, whether he has to reimburse subrogation or not, you have to pay the damages that are awarded against you, do you not?
We do, but only as determined in a court of law. And we have the right to have that determined by a jury. This is a consolidated action.
No,
it is not a
bifurcated. Doesn't the jury
action
determine all the medical and the lost wages and the pain and suffering? What are you not getting? I can understand your argument with Mr. Britton, but what are you not getting a jury trial on?
We're not getting a jury trial on the issue of the right of the subrogation carrier, the reasonableness of it, the interpretation of it. All of that is taken out under the Louisiana law, which would not be the case in Ohio. The other issue.
I don't understand why that affects you. You pay the check to Mr. Britton. He has to reimburse. It's not you that reimburses. It's Mr. Britton's award that he has to pay out of. So I still fail to understand where you have to suffer any right to a loss of a jury trial.
Well, we do suffer the right of a loss to a jury to determine all of the issues in the case which Ohio constitutional law guarantees. The other issue, and I think this is partly what Justice Pfeiffer was referring to, it dramatically affects the rights of the litigant in the trial court as relates to issues such as settlement. If the insurance company is saying, we get paid from dollar one, and that violates the Ohio law, and it violates the Holton decision, and it violates the law in the state in 2000, it's like having the proverbial bull sitting there that prohibits the parties, such as the plaintiffs and G&H, from reaching an amicable settlement. And this court has repeatedly favored the principle of the law should not impede settlement, but help the parties to resolve the their differences short of trial.
So that's not really a right to a jury trial. That's a right to settlement.
The constitutional issues, that it's a constitutional impediment. Yes, Your Honor. And for these reasons, we understand the application of 185 and the ability of this court to apply it, but respectfully request that this particular case be ruled in favor of the appellants.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. The case is submitted. You will be advised of our opinion.